Hello, good evening, everybody. It's Parsha Zayetze. So I want to continue now with Hilchos Brachos. So the past 2 weeks, we've been discussing the halachas of Chameshes Aminim, when it's Mezainis and when it's not. And up till now, we have been discussing when it is that a wheat product or barley or oats, when does it become, it starts out as a hadama, and when does it switch from hadama to mezainis? And we discussed that when it gets cooked and baked into what's called a maisa kedera, something that we explained the past 2 weeks, then the bracha becomes mezainis. So now, this week I want to focus on the different types of mezainis, the different types of products which the bracha is mezainis, and the difference in halacha between them. So in a nutshell, there are two types of mezainis. Either it's a bread product, which is referred to as pas haba'a b'kisnin. Again, pas haba'a b'kisnin. Example is pretzels, danishes, things like that. Or it's a product which has no resemblance to bread, like macaroni. Doesn't look like a baked product at all. It's cooked. So something which has no resemblance to bread is a simple mezainis. Not pas haba'a b'kisnin, not pas. doesn't have a problem of pas akum. It doesn't have any halacha of pas. It's a simple mezainis. So again, there's two types of mezainis. Either we are talking about something which is essentially a bread product, and it's called pas haba'a b'kisnin, like pretzels and danishes, or it has no resemblance to bread. It's like macaroni, and then it's a simple mezainis. Now, let's focus on pas haba'a b'kisnin. If a product is baked, and it resembles bread, it has a tzura of pas, it looks like it's something that was baked, then it can either be one of two things. It can either be hamaitzi, proper hamaitzi, if it's real bread, regular challah or rye bread or anything of that sort, or it can be mezainis if it's pas haba'a b'kisnin. So now, what does pas haba'a b'kisnin mean? What's the translation? Pas haba'a b'kisnin literally means bread which is served as a dessert. B'kisnin is a term that Chazal used to refer to dessert. So pas haba'a b'kisnin means bread that comes as a dessert. So what it really means is that it's bread that has been altered in a way to make it more resemble a dessert. Now, there are three possible ways that bread can get the status of pas haba'a b'kisnin. The first way is if the dough has been changed and it's either a sweet dough or it's a very oily dough. So what are the examples of that? We have pie crust, cookie dough, that's a very sweet dough, and a lot of sugar has been added to it, or a flaky dough is a example of a very oily dough. You've added a lot of margarine, or you've added a lot of oil. So any of those, once you've made that change to the dough, it gets the bracha of mezainis, it's pas haba'a b'kisnin. In this category, won't discuss it today, maybe next week we'll discuss it when, you know, you make a dough with apple juice, so we'll talk about that. But simply, it's something which is very sweet or very oily, and it tastes, the dough itself tastes very different, like a pie crust, cookie dough, or a flaky dough. That's number one. Number two is, even if it's a regular dough, you can use a regular challah dough, but the dough has been filled with something which is sweet or salty, like a kokosh cake, right? How do you make a kokosh cake? It's made out of regular challah dough, but you fill it with chocolate. So being that it's been filled with chocolate, therefore, that it is also a mezainis. This is also something which we have a number of examples of, where you have a regular dough which has been filled with a filling, with jam or other things, and that causes it, its bracha, to be mezainis. And the third qualification of pas haba'a b'kisnin is if the end product, the baked product, has a consistency which is very different than bread, which means it has a cracker-like consistency, like pretzels and crackers and so on, where the item has been baked to a point where it became very hard and thin, so then it also is mezainis. And that's why pretzels are mezainis and crackers are mezainis. And technically, according to that, matzah really should also be mezainis, and hence that's why Sephardim make mezainis on matzah all year long. And really the only reason why Ashkenazim make hamotzi on matzah all year long is because, being that matzah is considered bread on Pesach, so we consider it bread all year long. But essentially, a matzah is just as much a mezainis, should have been a mezainis just like anything else, and that's why crackers are mezainis, And that's why pretzels are mezain. So any one of these, any one of these characteristics are enough to give it a status of passable b'kistin and render its bracha mezainis instead of hamaitzi, and likewise its bracha achrayna will be al hamichya instead of benching. However, being that in essence, really it is pas, it really is bread, so therefore it still keeps some halachas of bread. Most notably, and the one that's the most relevant, is the halacha is that if you make a full meal, your kaveya suda, on any one of the above items, you have to wash, you have to make hamaitzi, and you have to bench on them. So what constitutes a full meal? What constitutes a kviyas suda? So it depends on what you're eating. Let's say you're just eating that one of the above products. You're filling yourself up breakfast on a Danish. So in that case, you have to eat quite a bit before you have to bench. The amount which qualifies as kviyas suda is 4 beitzim, which is quite substantial. It's the equivalent of 4 slices of rye bread, so probably, depending on how big of a Danish you're eating, it can be 2, it can be 3 Danishes, until you reach that amount. So if you are really packing it in by breakfast and eating all those Danishes as breakfast, it could possibly reach a point where it's kviyas suda, and if you're planning on eating that many Danishes, you would have to wash, and you would have to make hamaitzi, and you would have to bench, which probably would defeat the purpose. So in that case, you should be eating less. Now, however, well, let's say you're eating crackers, you really have to eat quite a bit of crackers. It's almost like with those snacker crackers, you have to eat just about a full sleeve of them before you get to 4 bayim. So you would have to eat an awful large amount of crackers to become a chayiv to wash, bench, and make a hamaitzi. But the question arises when someone is eating a full suda of other things, just instead of bread, they're using a pasabah b'kistin in the place of bread. This causes quite a question. How much is required someone to wash? Let me give you an example. Let's say you go to a chasana, and you don't want to wash because you don't plan on staying for benching, you don't have issues with, you know, all the issues that get involved with getting stuck there for benching. So you don't want to wash. So you're sitting down, and you're really sitting down to a 3-course meal. They're going to have a appetizer. They're going to have soup. They're going to have a main course. It's a full-blown meal. And on the table, they have challah, or they have, you know, rolls, and they also have breadsticks. So you would think that, I don't want to wash. I'll eat breadsticks. Now, if you're eating a full meal, and you preface it with 3 or 4 breadsticks, which are, so to speak, your bread, they're taking the place of your bread in this meal, it's very possible that that will be mechayev you to wash, and it'll be mechayev you to make a hamaitzi and to bench. And again, that would defeat the purpose. So whenever you are by chasna and you are eating a full meal, it is better to avoid this shaila and not to eat breadsticks or some mezainis product in the place of your bread, because then you would be entering into a big shiloh of perhaps you have to wash, you have to make hamaitzi, and you have to bench. Next week, Yemirat Hashem, we'll discuss more at length the difference, you know, what exactly differentiates bread from Passover b'kissin. We'll discuss pizza, we'll discuss calzones, why or why not they would be hamaitzi or not. So, in this week's parasha v'yetzei, it begins with Yaakov Avinu running away from Esav. And he travels, and he reaches a place which Chazal tell us was the Har Moriah, the place where the Beis HaMikdash would be built in the future. Yaakov Avinu establishes Tfilas Maariv as the sunset, and then proceeds to go to sleep. And Chazal say it's the first time in 14 years that he actually went to sleep. He had been hiding in the Beis Medrash of Eiver, learning Torah, and hadn't actually gone to sleep, hadn't lied down to sleep, even on a rock, until this night. But for 14 years, he was preparing himself to go to Lavan. So the pasuk relates that Yaakov Avinu collected some stones and formed a protective wall around his head with these stones. And it says stones in the plural, so we know he took more than one stone. Now we all know there's a famous chazal, which Rashi quotes, that the stones now began to, so to speak, argue with each other, each one saying, the tzaddik should put his head on me. And immediately Hashem combined them into one stone, they fused into one stone, and that's why later it says that Yaakov Avinu took the stone in singular that he put under his head, whereas it had started out as a plural, many stones, it ended up being a single stone. Same as Chazal. Now, we learn this medrash as children, or we hear it at some point in our lives, and it sounds very sweet that all the stones were vying for the chance to serve a tzaddik, but in reality, it doesn't seem to make much sense. I mean, what would it even help for the stones to argue which one of them the tzaddik should use? It isn't really up to them. Yaakov Avinu was going to make that decision, and the stones arguing is not going to help anything. Also, stones are things that can speak, and they have desires. And if they want the right thing, they get rewarded by Hashem to be made into one stone. I mean, what is that supposed to signify? And what benefit would the stones get by Yaakov Avinu putting his head upon them? Why did they want Yaakov Avinu to put his head and lie on them? So the Mesilas Yesharim discusses this medrash in Perek Aleph, the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim, and he says that we see from here that the whole world was created to serve a person who is doing Hashem's will. And he says, the world is dying to help us to serve Hashem. And he says, if we utilize the world properly, we elevate ourselves, and the world gets elevated with us. And if we, chas v'shalom, don't, then not only do we destroy ourselves, but the world gets dragged down with us as well. I remember I was once in Yerushalayim after I got married, when I lived in Eretz Yisrael for a bit, and I had a shiloh to ask, so I went to Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher Zatzal. He was the Rebbe of Yerushalayim, the head of the Bedas Beis Din. He was a Goyin, one of the Gedolei Hadar, well into his 80s. So I was standing in a long line, and finally it was my turn. I showed him my shiloh, and he was looking at it, and he was actually about to tell me that it's usher, but he was very uncomfortable with that. So he gestured at the chair, and he told me, he murmured something to me. I couldn't hear what he said, so he repeated. He said, "Sit down, sit down. The chair needs your tikkun, like the stones of Yaakov Avinu." So every part of the world really wants us to utilize it in the service of Hashem. So there's a very important message in the story of these stones. But first, let's get a little background about these stones. These weren't just any stones. Chazal and Yalkut say that Yaakov Avinu dismantled the stones which formed the Mizbeach that Avram had performed the Akedah on. These stones were the actual stones that Yitzchak Avinu lied on when Avraham Avinu built the Mizbeach and performed the Akedah, and he took those stones to use for a wall. In addition, Chazal say that these stones, after they were transformed into one, had a permanent place in history. The Alkut says that Hashem took this stone and buried it deep into the depths of the earth, and he made it the cornerstone of the world. The whole world lied on this stone. It became what was known afterwards as the Evan HaShasiyah. And in the future, David HaMelech would raise this stone out of the depths of the earth and make it the cornerstone of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the center stone in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it was the place that the Aron rested. The Aron rested on the Evan HaShasiyah. And in the second Beis HaMikdash, where there was no Aron, it was the only thing which occupied the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Apparently, it still resides on the top of the Har HaBayis. What's the significance of this stone? So the Yalkut says another thing. The Yalkut also says that Yaakov Avinu wasn't just choosing stones. He chose 12 stones because he knew that one of the Avis was destined to father 12 stones, 12 sons. So he performed the test. He took these 12 stones and he said, "Let me see. If these stones fuse together to become one, then I know that it's my destiny to father the Shiftei Ka." So unquestionably, there's great, great depth behind all these midrashim. But perhaps there's a central theme running through them. We know all the Avos were tested, and according to their strengths. Avraham Avinu epitomized chesed. He epitomized kindness. What was his challenge? His assignment was the Akedah, who was the extreme opposite of what we would think is chesed. He was challenged to sacrifice his son. Yaakov Avinu epitomized truth, emes, and he was challenged to lie and steal the brachas. What was the challenge of the Shevatim? Now, seeing the parashiyos that are coming, it seems quite clear. Their challenge was to unify. They were tested with an assign of divisiveness, of jealousy, of all the forces that can separate us. And their job, and which has now become our eternal job, is to unify and become Am Echad, a nation of one. Yaakov Avinu knew that he would only and could only be the one to be Zaycha to have the 12 Shvatim if he could also be the one to be able to find a way to unify them, something which indeed proved to be very difficult, as the coming parashiyos testify. Ultimately, Yaakov Avinu's efforts are rewarded, and that's why the stones did fuse and solidify into one. The Gemara says that at Yaakov Avinu's deathbed, the Shvatim proclaimed the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, they're addressing Yaakov Avinu, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. This is a point when there was true unity between them. That stone, therefore, became the cornerstone of the world, and then the main stone of the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of this world is Yichud Hashem. It's the purpose of all things in creation, the purpose of us as Jews and as a nation, is to bring about the recognition of Hashem as the sole ruler of the world. And the only way, the one and only way this can possibly happen is if there's a perfect unity amongst ourselves. As long as there's any shred of divisiveness between us, if there's selfishness which separates us, breaks us apart, Hashem can't reside in that spot. That's us. At the same time, it's only in the pursuit of Avodas Hashem, of the recognition of Hashem, that we can possibly unite ourselves. It's very hard to put our own desires behind us. It can be very hard to forgive someone who wronged us. It can be very difficult to work together with some people. And the only way we could do it, the only way we can rise above it, is if we recognize the importance of being b'shalom, having peace, and working together. If we focus on the goal and use the inspiration and importance of Avodas Hashem as an ideal to help us rise above it and put things behind us. Chazal says that Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim with Shivim Nefesh, 70 souls. But it says it in the singular, Shivim Nefesh. By Esav, when it lists his children, it says, Kol Nafshoy Seisai, all the souls in his household, plural. Chazal explained that the only way to be unified is when we focus on our purpose, to serve Hashem. Yaakov Avinu was Shivim Nefesh because they all served Hashem. Esav was Nafshoy Seisai because each one was over a different of a desire. Any other focus creates pirud, separation, and disunity. Our power as Jews is that we're goy echad ba'aretz, we're a singular nation, a unified nation. That's what defines us as Jews, and that's our strength. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was the same thing as well. It was meant to be a central, unifying force for the whole Klal Yisrael. All Jews gathered together. They gathered together on the Yamim Tovim, on Shalosh Regalim. They all came streaming to Yerushalayim to populate the Beis HaMikdash, and Hakel, they were all together. It was the central point and the unifying point of all Jews in the Beis HaMikdash, connecting them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Avodas Hashem. So the whole message boiled down to that Tzaddik should put his head upon me, meaning that every rock, every shred of this world has only one desire, to service Hashem. And when all the rocks expressed that this was their utmost desire, that's what created the perfect unity between them. When they said, Alai Yaniyah Tzadik Esreishai, they became one stone. That unity symbolized the perfect unity that will exist La'asad Lavai, and therefore it was made the cornerstone of the world and the cornerstone of the Beis HaMikdash. Have a good night and a good Shabbos.